السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. في جنات يتساءلون عن المجرمين ما سلككم في سقر، قالوا لم نك من المصلين ولم نك نطعم المسكين وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِضِينَ وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ حَتَّى أَتَانَا الْيَقِينَ. صدق اللہ العظیم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also sisters listening over receivers, this is an ayat of the Quran Sharif, Surah Al-Muddathir. We have discussed it in some majlis, for the Quran Sharif is for repetition. We must repeatedly read this ayat, understand the meaning, and then practice. The Quran Sharif is a book of guidance, a book of hidayat, firstly for the entire mankind. But of mankind, only those people really benefit from the Quran Sharif who accept Islam and then adopt and develop taqwa in their lives. Hudal lil muttaqeen. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala talks about the people in the fire of hell. After the decision having been taken, judgment being passed, believers going into Jannat, and the kuffar, the mushrikeen, the yahood, the nasara, the disbelievers, or even at some stage, the believers who were engaging in evil, in haram, in sins, after they have gone into Jahannam. Then the people in, after they have gone into Jahannam for a period of time, then the people in Jahannam will be questioned by those in Jannat. Now those days we could have not understood this ayat of the Quran Sharif. We would have said, how can it be possible that people who are in Jannat, in paradise, they are in a different environment altogether. They are enjoying the bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They are in namats. And Jannat is a place very, very distant away from the fire of Jahannam. So then how can they now question the people that are in Jahannam, those who are in hell? Those days it was difficult to understand a lot of things. Just as Miraj was difficult to understand by people of those days. But now with all the heart transplants taking place, so it becomes as if it is very, very simple to understand that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's heart was removed, washed and replaced. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went up above the seven heavens, and in this age of speed decommunication and high technology, and where spaceships travel at such a pace that within a few minutes they go around the earth or around the world. So all these things have made it easy to understand that if Allah Ta'ala can give man that kind of intelligence to come up with such kind of inventions, then what is it difficult for him to take his beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for Mi'raj in a short part of the night. So like that, this questioning of the people of the fire of hell by the people in Jannat in those days was difficult to understand. But with all the video conferencing that is taking place nowadays, we say it is easy. That a person is sitting in America and video conference is taking place, the others are sitting thousands of miles away, and they are being able to see those people, talk to them, and get a response to the questions. All those who watch videos and TVs and news, so they all understand all these things and video conferencing. So they understand the people are sitting somewhere in another part of the world. But you are asking questions, they are responding. So if Allah Ta'ala can give man this kind of technology, then what is it difficult for him to make it easy for the people of Jannat to question the people that are in the fire of Jahannam? That what caused them to land themselves in that fire? What is it that caused them to land themselves in that fire? Of course, first they will question the people in Jannat themselves. Amongst themselves they will ask, that what happened to those people? Where did they go? Say, well, they have gone into the fire of Jahannam. Then Allah Ta'ala will make it easy for them to question them. So when they will question them that what landed them in that fire of Jahannam, then they will say that four things made us go into the fire of Jahannam. Now like that, many things they did in their lives which landed them in that fire of hell. But these disbelievers in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, those who rejected the Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam, the prophets of Allah Ta'ala, so they will say that four things landed us in this fire of Jahannam. Now this is admission of guilt. Now that they know they're already there, so now there's no question of making all kinds of excuses and all kinds of stories. They will not be able to make up any stories. Now they will say, well, four things landed us here. And the first thing that they mention there is that we were not of those who used to make the salat. مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. In other words, we never used to make our salat. Now we will say that for the kuffar there was no question of salat, first they must bring iman. But it is for the intensity of their azab that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions that. So with these ayat of the Quran Sharif, though they may be talking about the disbelievers, but for the believers, they should be taking lessons, because the Quran Sharif is for everyone. That if these people who are disbelievers, they are saying that the first thing was that we were not from amongst those who performed their salat. Now very recently on the night of Miraj, or on the 27th night, or in the discussion of the night of Miraj that took place in many masajid, then one of the items that was discussed at length was the performance of salat. And everybody spoke about how Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave him all the other ahkam and all the other laws on the earth. Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam came with all those orders on earth. But when it came to the order of salat, performance of five time prayers, then Nabi alayhi salatu was salam was called up to the heavens, above the heavens, into the presence of Allah ta'ala. And look at the style and in the manner in which Allah Ta'ala blessed Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with that journey. The hundreds of thousands of angels accompanying Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Now all this took place and then he was given the performance of salat. Or the farz of salat five times a day. To show the importance of this. So these kuffar, they will say that lam nakum minal musallin. In Jahannam, they say, one of the reasons why we are here in this fire of hell is that we were not of those that used to perform their salat. Now, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this was given as a gift to him. Now, our rejection of salat is a rejection of this great gift that Allah Ta'ala gave to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam as a gift to the believers, to connect themselves with Allah Ta'ala and to be able to draw from the treasures of Allah Ta'ala. Every person has got problems, problems, problems. Wherever you travel in the world, there's nothing but problems. Who doesn't have problems? But then if we look at the community at large, we must not look at a small sample of the community somewhere performing salat. Whole plane loads of Muslims traveling, you'll find one or two performing the salat. Even if they are going for Hajj, you will find the same condition, especially when they are returning. That at the moment you touch Jeddah, or you arrive at Jeddah, it seems that everything is left behind. So such an important part of a Muslim's life, which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that if the person is not performing salat deliberately, the person, man taraka salata muta'ammidan faqad kafar, the person who forgoes his salat deliberately, intentionally. One is the person accidentally overslept, it is understandable. But where the person, just because he's playing some games or sporting activities or in just chit-chat and idle gossip or walimas and marriages and birthday parties and engagement feasts, and namaz is being sacrificed. The knife is first placed on our salat when it comes to all these so-called, what we term as very important things in our life. And no doubt it is important, it is all part of Islamic teaching. To conduct business is an Islamic thing. To marry is an Islamic thing. Walima is Islamic. Everything is Islamic. But the first thing that we slaughter is the salat. In the name of that which is Islamic, that is business. But look at the number of salat that are being sacrificed. When it comes to all the other programs of ours, the first thing is that is put to the slaughter is our salat. And yet this salat was something that was supposed to connect us with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave it the position of head in the human body. The position of salat in deen is like the head in the human body. That I've mentioned this many times and I repeat, that if a person is deaf, he is dumb, he is blind, but he is still living, then if somebody has to kick him, boot him, or somebody has to shoot him, or somebody has to stab him with a knife, then he will be charged for murder. If the person is blind, deaf, dumb, he's got no hands and he's got no feet, but he's living, then this person who has stabbed him to death now will be charged for murder. And he cannot say in the court of law, but that man did not have sight, but he did not have hearing, he did not have speech, his hands were missing. He can't say such things in court because he was a living person. But when the person's head is missing, then he cannot be charged for murder because that person is already dead. And that is the situation and condition of the Muslim Ummah around the globe today. We can cry as much as we want, and we can have as much protest marches as we wish, and we can take out as much pamphlets as we wish, and we can do as much shouting and screaming as we wish. But in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if the Ummah is dead, then first life will have to come into the Ummah before any recognition will be given in the court of Allah ta'ala to that Ummah. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying in the first place, it is as if they have committed kufr, and then the head is missing. So if the head is missing, then it means that the ummah at large is dead. So we have to do everything. It's a world of means. Nobody says that we must not make use of the means. But go travel around the world and see what is the condition of the masajid, and see what is the condition of the ummah that is traveling and the ummah that is living. You just cannot seem to find that 100% salat is far away, even if you find 20%. And if you have to even talk about salat, especially when there are such kind of gatherings of walimas and marriages and other feasting. One person was telling me there that so many of your South Africans came here recently for a certain program, and that in that hall that it was organized, he says, I was part of the organization. He says, tumhare South Africa wale jo aaye the, usme koi salat hi nahi padta tha, namaz hi nahi padta tha. I said, how can you say a thing like that? He says, I know all of them. So now it means that those people that were there, and plus our people that went from here, if all of them didn't perform the salat and didn't even consider it as a sin, that's another thing. So this subject of salat, sometimes we think that why is it repeated all the time? Why is it repeated? It is being repeated because we don't have still even 40% or 30% of the ummah performing 5 times salat. So the people will have to continue with the effort to make them first perform the salat. Otherwise Allah Ta'ala's rahmat will never come. Performance of salat is, according to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, tapping at the door of Allah Ta'ala. And he says that the person who taps at the door of Allah Ta'ala, then the door of Allah Ta'ala will open. But if the person is not tapping at the door of Allah Ta'ala, how will it open? Rahmat and mercy, the treasures are with Allah Ta'ala. And it will only descend when we are tapping at the door. Tu ho kisi bhi haal mein maula se lau lagaye ja. Khole wo ya na khole dar, us pe ho kyun teri nazar, tu to bas apna kaam kar, yani sada lagaye ja. So we have to keep on tapping at the door of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the door will open. So this performance of salat, now I'm not going into a full discussion of that, I'm discussing the ayat, where the kuffar are saying that one of the things that landed them when they were questioned, ma salakakum fi saqar, they say, qalu lam nakum minal musallin, we never used to make our salat. So we have to bring this alive in our homes, in our society, in our business houses. Everywhere there has to be facilities made so that people make their salat. The second thing they said, that we never used to feed the poor. When it came to feeding the poor, then we distanced ourselves from that. Now that was again a duty of the people, that those who have been provided with more risk and sustenance than their own requirement and necessities, then there is a share in that for those who are poor, those who are needy, those who are destitute, those who have not been given such amount of sustenance and risk. Now instead we think that everything is for ourselves and we just hoard and hoard and hoard. Whereas there was one of the reasons that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives is so that we may give. People are given sustenance so that the poor may be taken care of. The handicapped may be taken care of. That is why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives more. Masajid, madaris and everything else we spend on. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives that extra so that we may spend in all those causes. Otherwise He could have given us just a limited amount of sustenance which was sufficient for our life, for sufficient for our own needs and requirements. Allah Ta'ala could have given to all the others directly. But it is Allah Ta'ala's system that He gives to some people more than the others, and then gives the reward of giving to those poor, to those that have been blessed with that extra sustenance. If there were no poor people in the world, then where would we have discharged our obligation of zakat? And a time will come when people will go and search for people that take my zakat. They will say, thank you very much, I've got enough myself, so I don't need your zakat. The time will come when Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will descend on the earth. After that, the time will come close to Qiyamah. We say, how will that happen? Well, it is happening. We can see how many people who were poor and poverty stricken and who did not even have shoes on their feet and they did not have clothes on their bodies and they were living in shacks and huts, but today they are living in big, big palaces. And they are constructing huge and lofty buildings as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam predicted as a sign of Qiyamah. How many people who were in the jungles, who were fighting guerrilla warfare, but today they are in governments and they are staying in palaces and mansions. So if it is happening in the lives of so many and we are seeing it around, then what is it difficult to understand if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will create the conditions? We can see at present the amount of wealth that is in the hands of people, it was never there in the past. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is creating those conditions. So slowly the time will come when every person Allah ta'ala will give him so much that when we will go to discharge our zakat, they will say, sorry, I don't need your money. I myself have enough and I'm looking for somebody to give zakat to. That's what you will say. So, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ وَلَمْ نَكُمْ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. We did not feed the poor. So whilst Allah ta'ala has given life, then that is what we have to do. And then the third thing that they mentioned which landed them in this fire of hell, just by way of explanation, is that when people were engaged in criticizing the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when people were rejecting, when people were making a mockery of the teachings of the Quran, when people were making a mockery of the teachings of the Prophet, then we too participated with them and we were part and parcel of their discussions. In other words, that we enjoyed those discussions and we also acknowledged that what they were saying was the truth. That means they were also party to that. Now that must have been their problem. But exactly the same thing now if we look at in the Muslim Ummah, that go around again in the world and see how much of criticism of Quranic ayat, that it is, na'uzu billah, an outdated book. It was revealed in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And who is writing, so-called Muslims, that there are many ayat in the Quran Sharif which we cannot now present to the world as being part of the Quran Sharif. The ayat of the inheritance, the equality clause is being affected. Both should have received equal. And yet if you have to be given an explanation, we'll understand that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave to the women much, much more than to the men. But the problem is this, that we have made the women the breadwinners. As soon as the person marries, the first thing he wants to know, where will you go and work? And how much can you earn and bring into the house? One is an emergency situation or where there is a desperate need to supplement the salary of the husband. But if the husband and wife want to lead an extravagant lifestyle and then requires the wife to go and work at the places of total strangers, and he gets extremely happy when she brings a big wage packet, so then we must not blame Islam and Sharia and Quran and Sunnah. Otherwise, Islam had put absolutely no obligation on the woman to earn. The father was first responsible for her total expenses. When she gets married, the entire expenditure was now supposed to be that of the husband. He was supposed to provide house, provide clothing, provide food and everything else. Like that it goes on, there's no time to go into details. But when it comes to inheritance, then there she earns or she inherits from the son, she inherits from the daughter, she inherits from the father, she inherits from the mother. So inheritance is coming in from all sides and expenditure is nil. Now if everybody implements it, then it will work. But if just few people implement it and the rest don't, and then we blame Islam and Quran and Sunnah, then there's something wrong with us. So here again, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he has given us beautiful teachings. So what I'm saying is that these kuffar, they said that is what brought us into the fire of hell. That when people were criticizing and mocking and teasing and making a big joke and ridiculing the teachings of the prophets and of the Quran, then we used to also engage, we used to be party to it, we used to enjoy it too. Now that is the condition of the ummah also around the globe, if you go and see, that everybody is asking for a reformation and a change in the things of the Quran Sharif, with laws of talaq and many things else. But they do not want to change themselves. Khud to badalte nahi, Quran ko badal dete hai. We don't want to change, the Quran Sharif must change. So they say that is another reason that we landed ourselves in this fire of Jahannam. And the last thing was, وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. In other words, they were rejecting the final day. They were rejecting the day of judgment. Now we may not say it openly that there is no such thing as day of judgment. But if we have to look at our actions, our deeds, if we look at our own character, we look at our own akhlaq and mu'amlat and mu'asharat, our dealings and everything else, it clearly indicates that we just have the knowledge of the day of judgment, but we don't truly believe. If we had truly believed, then we would not have been living a life as we are living now. So we must take lessons from these ayat, that if these things landed them in the fire of Jahannam, that we must not engage and indulge in these same sins and vices. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect me, protect you and protect the entire ummah. May Allah ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering and the problem that the ummah is going through throughout the world. We must continue with the effort to make a lot of dua to, and the most important effort should be on our own selves, that we must change first. If every individual changes, the whole society changes. And societies change, then nations change. But if we talk about the whole world changing, but we don't want to change ourselves, then nothing will change. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.